You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
And we're coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. Had some baseball games last night, but really we are getting ready for a huge night in New York sports, a huge couple of days, as you got both the Knicks and the Islanders ready for their game threes tonight, and you have the NFL draft. Finally, it is here after months and months of speculation tonight as well. Then the Rangers back on the ice down in D.C. against the Capitals on Friday. And tomorrow, I'm thinking the only way that we're not the first words out of our mouth aren't about the New York Knicks is if the Giants trade up and get a quarterback. That would mean that we're leading with the draft and probably doing 3 or 4 hours on the draft. But other than that, it'll probably be another Knicks morning. This is a really good time to be a New York sports fan. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. And I think for tonight in Detroit, where this draft is coming from, you know, 1 and 2, I think, are pretty much locked in. I think almost everybody that I have read, talked to, heard about, believes that, you know, of course, it's Cale Williams to the Chicago Bears. And then, of course, it's Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders. And then after that, that's where it really gets interesting. Because many people kind of feel like, you know, maybe the Patriots don't feel like they're ready yet. They have to build a team. And, you know, again, to look in the future and to try to figure out what quarterback is coming, the last couple times that I think this has happened, one would be this year, because I think after Cale Williams won the Heisman, everybody knew that he was going to be the number one pick in this draft. So whoever got the number one pick was going to be lucky enough to draft what many people believe is a generational player. And when you watch him play, you can see why.
Yeah.
All right. So, and that happens to be the Bears. They did a great job last year with the trade with the Panthers to get up into this year's draft. You know, honestly, this should be the Panthers pick is what it should be. And, you know, the Panthers screwed up royally last year. But after number two, what do the Patriots do? And where do they go? Where does J.J. McCarthy go? Where does Drake May go? Where does Michael Penix go? Where does Bo Nix go? And there is a feeling that all of those guys are going to end up going in the first round, which is amazing because I saw, you know, there's so many mock drafts. I mean,
I stopped looking at it.
Right. It will just make your head spin.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there are a lot of really good players in this draft, but I think it's quarterbacks, it's wide receivers, it's offensive tackles. Then come maybe an edge rusher or two, a defensive tackle, defensive backs, cornerbacks. So I just think that it's going to be fascinating to see what happens between pick 3 and pick 6 in this draft. and whether or not the Cardinals believe that they could trade the fourth pick and still remain in range to get the wide receiver they want. In order for that to happen, I do believe that they can't drop below six. So everybody says, well, the Giants don't really have the draft capital. But what the Giants do have is they have that number six pick. And it is in the top 10, so you can still get a very, very solid, if not can't-miss player at number six. So that's why maybe Arizona, the Patriots, the Chargers, all I could see, you know, trading back possibly to the Giants, because normally smoke is fire.
Oh, yeah, and I do believe that all these teams that are quarterback needy, especially the top three that we have been talking about that have the assets to trade up, the Giants, the Vikings, and the Broncos, I fully believe that each one of those teams would be taking a quarterback if they were 1, 2, and 3 and like those guys and would like to trade up. It's just a matter of what that price tag is going to be. And I also believe that the New England Patriots, when they say they're open for business, if there's a deal out there that they feel like they can't turn down, they will take that deal. So is a general manager, either Joe Shane or Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah out in Minnesota or Sean Payton in his front office out there, so obsessed with one of these guys that they end up doing one of these massive deals and sort of punting next year's draft and maybe a first rounder after that to get the guy. And if it's not Caleb Williams, and I like Jaden Daniels a lot, but if it's not Caleb Williams and it's not Jaden Daniels, and we're talking about if it's Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, I mean, are you forgoing your next couple of drafts for those two guys? Or is that just a overrate because we're in desperate need of a young guy?
I think it's overrate because you're in desperate need of a young guy. Both Drake May and J.J. McCarthy bring different things to the table, of course. And J.J. McCarthy is a big quarterback. He's very athletic. I could see Brian Daboll being enamored with him.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. The J.J. McCarthy thing is really the kind of wild card here because of what Jim Harbaugh said as he was leaving Michigan and going to the Chargers. He basically said, look, this guy's a winner. This is somebody that, man, is going to go in the first round. And when he said that, nobody in their wildest dreams thought that he was a first rounder, let alone a top 10 pick.
Yeah. I mean, during the season, too, when this team was rolling and even going into the national championship game, even right after the national championship game, nobody was talking about him being a first rounder. I mean, I went, speaking of mock drafts, Daniel Jeremiah, who is a guy on the NFL Network, one of the most respected draft guys there is right now. I went to his mock draft right after the national championship game. He did not have J.J. McCarthy going in the first round. And that's the stuff that scares me. And I know that pro days and combines and interviews can change things, but up until that point after the season where combines and pro days and interviews change things, NFL GMs and people who are evaluating the draft weren't looking at him as a savior at the quarterback position. And what happens is these GMs like, damn, like the guy I really like, I'm not going to be able to get.
You know what's amazing? Let's just talk about Tom Brady for a second when he came out in the draft.
Yeah.
We've all seen the photo. What we didn't see, or what maybe the Patriots saw, Bill Belichick saw, was a guy that seemed to be really committed to the game of football and to becoming a great quarterback. Now, if they would have seen it and they would have felt about that,
they would have taken him in the first round.
They would have, but they, you know, he fell to the sixth round.
Yeah.
So the point being is that this is a crapshoot.
Yes,
and I think that Chicago's in a good situation. The only thing I worry about with Chicago right now is what their quarterback room looks like when Caleb Williams gets there. I would love to have a veteran quarterback presence in there.
And be with the right personality.
I mean, because you're going to have to deal with his personality.
Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons why they have, Keenan Allen. Now, they traded for Keenan Allen, and he's on a one-year deal. That's it. So they also have the ninth pick, and that's why many people think it's going to be another wide receiver, because Keenan Allen's on a one-year deal, and he does have a relationship with Caleb Williams. So that could be a good thing for Caleb. Again, like with all of these kids, it's the same thing. It's the personality. It's the coaching staff. It's the organization where they're going to as to whether or not ultimately they're going to be successful.
Yeah, and you look at some of these drafts and you get a couple of guys out of the same draft that are really good. Sometimes there's three like Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, but a lot of times there's either one or none. And you look back at, you know, the Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson draft right now, and that looks like a horrendous one. And then you go back at some of these guys in the first round, from J.P. Lossman to Christian Ponder to Achilles Smith. We can go over and over and over. I mean, if I was an NFL general manager, I would hate the draft, because chances are what I do on that draft night is going to get me fired. Because especially we're at the top of the draft and a quarterback is in your sights. And there's probably, I mean, okay, if you believe that, as many people do, that Caleb Williams is close to a can't miss. You can't even barely say can't miss anymore.
Well, I would say, you know, he's in that class.
Like Andrew Luck?
Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, you know, Troy Aikman, guys that they knew were going to be the first pick overall in the draft.
Yeah.
And then ultimately it was going to take them, you know, the school of hard knocks. I mean, they all went through it. He'll go through it, most likely go through it. I don't know if he'll have a year like C.J. Stroud just had.
Sure.
I mean, that's why the C.J. Stroud year was so, like, startling. Like,
yeah.
You expect, okay, we're going to be good, but are we going to be 17 games worth of good? And
right.
When you look at his body work last year, nobody expected that, especially with the Houston Texans, especially with a new coach, especially with the way that they drafted
on the history of Ohio State quarterbacks, too. Everybody was bringing that up, which I think is not really fair, but that was another knock on him. So, all right, so if you believe that Caleb Williams is in that close to a can't-miss category, I mean, then after that, if you think that he's going to hit, I mean, the odds of another one of these guys hitting right after that is going to be slim. So you've got, it's the classic line of, are you in love with Drake May or are you in love with the idea of Drake May? And the idea being, I've got this super talented kid who's got all the measurables and he's going to be the face of my franchise. He's a good looking kid. He's tall. He can throw the ball and I'm going to get my hands on him as an offensive guy like Brian Daboll or Kevin O'Connell or Sean Payton. I'm going to get my hands on him. I'm going to turn him into a superstar. Or is it, this guy's so good that we just got to make sure that we put him in the right spots and he will be a superstar, as opposed to being a project? And you can't be a project anymore in today's NFL, it seems like. Coaches refuse to do it. Under extreme circumstances, do you have real projects that they sit and make sure that they can season a little bit?
I got to tell you, I wish these kids could sit. I really do. You know, like Bryce Young was right out there, right on the field last year, and it was an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
And you just hope that he comes back this year. He'll have a better understanding of what NFL training camp is all about. He'll have an understanding about how he fits in the team. I mean, there's so much indecision that goes into all of this when these kids first start. And that's why, you know, to me, like, Jaden Daniels is like a rocket ship. That's how explosive he is. But that doesn't mean that's going to transfer to the NFL field right away. I mean, he's got to watch it. He's got to learn it. He's got to feel it. I just, like, that's a team that I don't want him starting right now. I want them to take him, but I want him to at least sit and let whoever else they have on that roster, by the time we get to training camp, you know, maybe they'll have a veteran there that they could play for 5 or 6 games, and maybe the team is 2-3. It's not doing well. But now Jaden Daniels has sat there and he's watched and he just can't wait to get on the field, because he really does truly have an understanding of what it's like to be an NFL quarterback. I'm telling you, it is so hard. You know, my first year, I just thought that was it. I can't do this. And then my second year, I came back. I had a completely different understanding of the offense, completely different understanding of how I could read defenses and things of that nature. And then when I ultimately took over, it clicked. And I was lucky. It happened to me in my second year. And then think about Phil Simms's kind of like arc of his career. Like, he was drafted in the first round, and it didn't go so well the first couple of years. And he had injuries. And, you know, they decided to go with Scott Bruner, and then he got to come back. And then finally, you know, he settled in, and he figured it out, and he had the right coach. And that's like Patrick Mahomes getting drafted by Kansas City was like such a match made in heaven.
Oh, it was perfect, because you also had, well, you had one of the great offensive coaches in football, but you also had a successful offense at that time that was winning games. That's the only thing that keeps that first round quarterback on the bench, is if you've got a quarterback that's playing well and the team is winning. And generally, when you draft a quarterback high like that, your team stinks. So the only situation that I could see where that actually goes on, where you draft a guy and then have him sit, but the team is winning. I mean, people are going to say I'm saying this because I'm a fan, but I'm not saying it because I'm a fan because I'm always have a negative take on them. Might actually be the Minnesota Vikings, where they could draft a guy and, believe it or not, Sam Darnold could be competent enough with all those weapons that they have and a defense that was really, really good last year to have them in the mix where they can keep whoever they draft at bay for a little bit, as opposed to starting off the season 1-5 and the fan base says, what the hell are we doing? Put that quarterback in.
But you have a good offensive coach, head coach.
Right.
And the head coach understands probably better than anybody in the NFL that, look, as a former quarterback, I know how difficult this is. And the last thing I want to do is I want to put this kid out on the field and expect him to, you know, to take off and run like he's coming right out of the college and he's running the same offense. So it is such a crapshoot. It really, truly is. But I kind of believe that Caleb Williams now, going to the Bears, with everything that they've done here this offseason, you know, he should have success. He should start week one.
Oh, he will. He's the guy that will, and it makes sense. It would be kind of be crazy if he didn't. Something would go wrong.
Man, but what a difference for him. And wait till he leaves USC and goes to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he's going to be great and he's one of those great ones, then those things should not rock his world and knock him off his pedestal. He should thrive in those situations. And just, you know, one thing to think about, too, as we continue to talk about the Giants and the draft, if they don't draft a quarterback this year and you don't believe in Daniel Jones, where are they getting the next quarterback? Next year's draft when they suck again?
It'll be next year's draft.
This is going to be the same regime after that?
It'll be the free agent. That's why everybody does believe that they want to trade up and they want to get their quarterback of the future and then restart the franchise again. I kind of feel like with everything that they're doing, unfortunately for Joe Shane, when he inherited the Giants and he inherited Daniel Jones, what he had to do is he had to like piecemeal the team.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like with the trade for Brian Burns and some of the things that now he's done in free agency and also in his own draft since he's been here, he's been trying to rebuild the team. But you can't really rebuild the team unless you have the guy behind center that you believe in.
Yes.
I mean, and look, Rich Eisen said it. It's Jordan Renan said it. And everybody else has said it. And while I do feel empathy for Daniel Jones and what he's got to listen to and what he's got to deal with right now.
He's had his opportunity and he got paid.
He got paid a lot of money. And, you know, this is like you're talking about now a general manager. You're talking about a coach that also want to survive. And I think the only way that they can truly survive, well, there's two ways. Let's say they can't move up, they can't trade up, and they can't get the guy that they want. I don't want them settling for somebody just because they want to restart the quarterback position. You know, you want them to be committed to the guy that they want.
And that is my whole point with J.J. McCarthy. And maybe even Drake May, but especially J.J. McCarthy, which is he's the next guy. After the top three go, he's the next guy. So these general managers convince themselves that they love the guy because they need a quarterback more so than them loving the guy.
Well, I'll tell you what they do need. They need an explosive wide receiver. That's for sure.
Yes.
And we all know that, you know, and everybody talks about, you know, offensive line. It's not as if the Jets and the Giants have not tried to fix the offensive line. They have spent a ton of draft capital and free agent money on offensive linemen to try to figure it out. They really, really have. I mean, I could sit here and tell you that if they really wanted to, there's two tackles that are going to go in the top 10 most likely. They could take one of those two guys. That would be a safe pick. It's not going to excite anybody, but they would be safe picks. The other thing is that there will be three wide receivers there, most likely two to pick from, because if everything holds, that means, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to go to the Cardinals. So now what does LA Chargers do? What do they do at number five? Because that is a really interesting one for me. They could trade out of number five if, say, the Saints, although I don't necessarily know that they would, the Saints and the Vikings could come up to number five and give a haul to get a quarterback that is sitting there.
Yeah, I think that the Chargers, if you listen to Jim Harbaugh, I don't think it's a smokescreen. I think he wants an offensive lineman. I think he wants the best offensive lineman on the board.
Plus their wide receivers.
And no, I understand that, but this is a guy who loves him some offensive line, loves him running the football, also has done magic with quarterbacks. You need weapons, but I'm telling you right now, if you could, if you had Jim Harbaugh candidly in front of a microphone, at a bar, wherever, and you could say, with your team that you have right now, you could have the best wide receiver on the board or the best offensive lineman on the board. I guarantee 10 times out of 10, he'd say offensive
lineman. You know, because that they have been, getting rid of players and kind of depleting the roster, especially a wide receiver, I could see them trading out. Especially if somebody, if there is a quarterback there that people would covet. So I'd say J.J. McCarthy is there at five.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, if you're Jim Harbaugh, you want to add, depending what Minnesota is willing to do, depending on what, like, the Broncos are willing to do, or even the Giants are willing to do, you know, that is a spot to me that seems like they could trade and still get top value if they just don't go too far back in the draft. You know what I mean?
I do.
And I don't know, I don't necessarily know who really affords them that luxury, because teams with multiple draft picks, they're so far apart from each other. But I do believe that there are going to be wide receivers that will be drafted somewhere between 28 and 34 that are going to be top-end wide receivers. That you could still get a top-end wide receiver late in this draft. In the first round, I should say.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco here. He's going to give us a sports update. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, good morning. Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life. Indeed, the first round of the draft tonight in Detroit. You got the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots. 1-2-3, Giants 6, Jets 10. Here was Caleb Williams. So, I mean, we all know he's going to Chicago, basically. And this cements it, because he was asked, if you're going to the Bears, who should they take with their other first round pick? And he answered,
if I was able to choose, and if I was pick number one of the Bears, I'd probably go Olufoshanu, because I know he put his life on the line for me, protected me. I'd probably go one of the top
three. So if you didn't think he was going to the Bears and didn't know, you know now.
Yeah.
Just trying to, I had a hard time hearing what he was saying.
Yeah, me
too. Okay. Can you tell me what he said?
Not really. Just the fact that he answered the question and he mentioned a couple of guys.
All right.
The whole point of forget about the specifics for a second here.
The fact of the matter was, is he was talking as if he were already a Chicago Bear. That's the point.
Yes, I understand.
I was just wondering which player. I think he was talking about one of his teammates.
Yeah, one of his offensive linemen.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's possible.
All right, okay.
There's so much wind in the cut. For real, you can't hear. It's terrible. But he answered my point is he answered the question, and they should do this, and they should do that. Like, he sounds like a bear already.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely
now,
a bear.
What audio was worse, that or Alvin's
cell
phone?
Oh, my God.
I don't have
Chicago
it yet.
Chicago radio station.
By 7:30, we'll have it. I have not had a moment to pull it yet, but we will.
Oh, I listened to it in my
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Al described it perfectly.
All right, good.
Absolutely perfect. I didn't need to hear it.
We do need to hear it.
No, I'm just telling you that everything he said in the warm-up show was exactly the way that it went.
Perfect. All right. Well, that'll be in about an hour from now. Then there's J.J. McCarthy. He was on the Rich Eisen show, and the question to McCarthy was, do you have any idea who's drafting you and where you're going to end up?
I have somewhat of an idea. New York Giants, I've spent the most time with. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a phenomenal staff. Love Coach Dable. Love, you know, Mr. Shane. Love Coach Tierney. Uh-huh. Coach Kafka, mm-hmm. Chicago guy.
And then he went on to say he knows the system already.
I'll tell you, that's not great for Daniel Jones to hear that. Oof. I'm just trying to. I remember when the Bengals drafted David Klingler in the '92 draft, and you know I was still on the Bengals team. Sam had just either been fired or left. I don't think we still have an answer as to whether or not Sam Weish was fired.
Yeah,
but somehow they split, and I knew that they had the high pick, and I knew it was going to be a quarterback, and it's not an easy thing to do. Like if you're sitting around, especially if you're Daniel Jones right now. And you're rehabbing. It's not a lot of fun. And then you're listening to this kind of stuff from a kid who's not even a professional football player yet.
Yeah, if he gets drafted by the New York Giants, then we can go back. I would love to do this. I don't do this a lot, but there was an open that I had a couple of months ago where I said, I feel like the Giants are going to take J.J. McCarthy. It's going to be Daniel Jones 2.0 all over again and going to set him back another 4 or 5 years. Giant fans were killing me for that. Killing me with the 6th overall pick. New York Giants. J.J. McCarthy.
Well, everybody has them and the Minnesota Vikings. I say everybody. Most people have those two teams enamored with Drake May.
I don't know what to believe anymore, man. This is what I think is going to happen. I think that you will see everything go chalk 1-2-3. That the Patriots end up taking Drake May. Then what you'll see is the Broncos, the Vikings, the Giants all hammer the Cardinals. And whatever team wins that battle is going to get J.J. McCarthy and then also slammed across the country for giving up what they gave up to go and get him.
Right.
The guy's going to suck in the NFL. He just is. He doesn't have it.
Oh,
I'm just telling you right now, you can smell it.
There it is.
Yeah.
Save that one, Eddie.
Well, he did.
I want to come in here tomorrow and start the show with that.
Well, Eddie's saving it for when J.J. McCarthy wins a Super Bowl MVP. I'm sure he's a great kid. He's an out-of-nowhere guy, meaning that nobody was talking about him being a top 10 pick, not even a first-round pick.
Until Jim Harbaugh said it.
Right. And then also until these other teams were like, oh, crap, we can't trade up to the top three, so now we got to settle for number four.
What's kind of interesting, what you forget, is Jim Harbaugh was a quarterback himself in the NFL. Jim Harbaugh grew up in a household where his father was a coach, where his brother became a coach, and Jim Harbaugh has turned quarterbacks into really good players. You know, I can think of Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick and so on and so forth, the guys that he had at Michigan, and now this kid comes and they win a national championship, and they win it the way that Jim Harbaugh wants to win football games. Defense, running game, and play action passing. And the kid handles everything.
Yeah.
You know, so he wasn't given the opportunity to throw the ball 50 times a game. Reminds me of Jack Cohn when Jack went to Wisconsin. You know, like he was hamstrung by the coach. Like they were going to run a half-ass offense that was not going to accentuate his skills. And what ends up happening, he ends up going to Notre Dame, Brian Kelly leaves, and in a bowl game, they have him throw 60 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like that was kind of J.J. McCarthy. He left high school as one of the winningest quarterbacks ever to come out of high school and then goes to Michigan, and all they do is win with him at quarterback, handling all the things that you got to handle. under Jim Harbaugh at Michigan.
I could see it now. Broadway JJ.
Mm.
And then maybe they'll do like all the stuff they did with Tommy DeVito and the Italian stuff. They'll do with the Irish stuff with JJ McCarthy. You know, luck of the Irish, something like that. Pot of gold at the end of this particular.
Even rainbow.
Yeah, rainbow.
Yeah.
The McCarthy rainbow. Yeah. Have a pint for JJ. And all the Irish stereotypes will come out now with the drafting of JJ McCarthy.
Let's say they don't, and let's say they end up with a wide receiver. Will you be happy? I just want you to be happy.
Oh, I don't. I don't really care. Who they
like
draft, because we have no idea how it's going to work out. But I will say that my opinion is that the Giants will continue to stink if they take J.J. McCarthy. But if they ended up taking a wide receiver, if they take Malik Nabers, I'd be thrilled, because I think that guy is going to be like Odell Beckham Jr. all over again, hopefully more successful in a Giants uniform. But, I mean, we don't know. We just have opinions. I have no friggin' idea. It'd be great. And then when he does get drafted, if he gets drafted here, then I'll be rooting for him to play well, because I don't want to go through another one of these
crap football
that they draft Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson.
Ugh.
It's the worst. Can't take it anymore.
Can you make that noise again?
I mean,
sounded like Carlin a little bit there.
Yeah, he did.
Boomer and Geo live 4, Sean in a corned beef and cabbage pot.
J.J. McCarthy.
Just a couple of other things from football. Lions give Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penny Sewell 4-year extensions. 120 for St. Brown. Sewell 112, though he got more guaranteed money. I think Sewell's was $85 million.
When are they going to give Jared Goff his new contract?
Don't know. That was lost somewhere. The Cowboys picked up their 5th-year option on Micah Parsons. Bengals pick up theirs on Jamar Chase, though Trey Hendrickson did request a trade via his agent, apparently. We get to the NBA playoffs. The Heat beat the Celtics 111-101. Miami hit 23 threes on the night. So that series tied 1-1.
That's amazing.
Yes, of course it is. Jimmy Butler was trolling on social media, and they beat him up pretty good.
That's Heat culture.
Yeah, I was just about to say,
Heat culture.
That Heat culture. It's not about the name on the back of the jersey, Boomer. It's about the name on the front of the jersey.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thunder go up 2-0 with an easy win over the Pelicans, 124-92. And Philly tonight, Game 3, Knicks and Sixers. Here's Jalen Brunson. He obviously has not shot the ball well. We know this, but he says he's liked his looks so far.
For the most part, I've been shooting the shots that I've been shooting have been the ones I've been making, and all year. And so, I gotta obviously be better and make the shots.
And expects that he will. And then I know you saw this yesterday too, G. You had Tommy, who does not like the narrative from Shaq and Charles Barkley about the series and about the Sixers and the way the series has gone so far, so much that he had a slip of the tongue yesterday with Evan and Tiki.
This is the entire narrative of this series, is the Sixers are choking it away. The officials are on the Knicks side. It's bullshit. I apologize for that. I did dump that. I apologize. That's the first. In 15 years, I've never done that. I dumped it. I apologize.
My mistake. I apologize.
Hey, we got dudes who are doing damage.
Yeah. Dudes, damage, dump button. Did you hear Tiki's sound during that thing? He didn't know what to do. He just went, "Never."
This is the entire narrative of this series, is the Sixers are choking it away. The officials are on the Knicks side. It's bull.
Did you?
And by the way, did Evan in the middle of that go, "Do you want to hear the biggest worf?"
The biggest worf? Swerve? I thought he said swerve.
I couldn't figure out what he was saying.
He's like, "You want to hear the biggest worf?"
This is the entire narrative of this series, is the Sixers are choking it away. The officials are on.
What is that?
Biggest dwarf?
What?
What is a dwarf?
That's not what he said.
I don't know. It's the weirdest clip I've ever heard in my life.
This is the entire narrative of this series, is the Sixers are choking it away. The officials are on.
It's nothing.
You got Evan saying worf. You got Tiki going, sharp worf.
You got Lou Gower cursing.
They're losing their minds.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man. All right. Afternoons from 2 to 6 right here on The Fan.
When this happened.
That's right. The Yankees got a first inning home run from Aaron Judge. Home runs from Rizzo and Soto along the way, and a 7-3 win over the A's. You got Nestor Cortes on the mound tonight. First pitch, 7:05. How about the Mets? They beat the Giants 8-2. They go 3-3 through L.A. and San Francisco.
I'll take it. You know what I mean? I would have been better. You know, 4-2. Obviously, I would have taken that too. But
3-3 is fine.
Hey, it's fine. Just stay right around .500. And just stay within striking distance.
And J.D. Martinez expected in the lineup tomorrow.
Man, that's like long-awaited. Longest like ramp up. But he actually had a longer ramp up than spring training itself, didn't he?
He did.
I'm going to take on the Cardinals tomorrow. And then I usually wouldn't play this, but I'm getting to a point. This is college baseball.
This is another one. A liner way back. Top row, left field bleachers. Tommy Wade. Pucker up again and kiss that baby goodbye. Is there any place on the field that he cannot hit a home run?
Well, I'll tell you, the guy that the ball went to was hoping there would have been a different place. That was courtesy of the SEC Network because the fan that was in line to catch the home run ball missed it and took it right on the forehead.
This is the guy in the outfield stands. Yeah, I saw this.
Here was
the big meathead looking guy.
You know,
right?
I've been carrying this glove with me for years, and I was like, okay, now's my time. I got one coming, and hole in the glove, man. What can I say? Beamed off my dome, and here we are. I've got a nice little goose egg.
Can we see it?
Oh, well, I mean, if you want to.
The video is funny because he just misses it, and it goes right off his head. And then when they ask him, he takes his hat off. Dude, that guy's got a welt on his head. So that was unfortunate, yet funny at the same time.
Oh, man. American baseball fans.
Sound like Gomer Pyle.
Yeah. All right. Very good, Jerry. Thank you. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Knicks, Islanders, NFL draft tonight. We have not talked about the Jets that much this morning. We've talked about, obviously, what they're going to do in the draft for months now, but everybody thinks, and I know we do a lot of this, everybody thinks, but it's the only way I can really frame it. Most educated people around the Jets believe, including Rich Cimini himself, who has covered the team for many, many years, that the Jets will indeed select Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia, if they stay where they currently are in the first round. Now, does Joe Douglas want to trade back? He's not going to want to trade up, I don't believe. Could he trade back? That is a possibility. But to me, adding Brock Bowers to this team and giving Aaron Rodgers another weapon offensively and someone who could just step in. Rich Cimini, I saw him this morning talking about it, and he said that Joe Douglas believes and the Jets believe that Brock Bowers could have the same impact this year on the Jets that Sam LaPorta did for the Detroit Lions last year, which was massive.
That is high praise.
Yes. That's coming from Cimini. So that's why I think it sounds like Brock Bowers.
You know, his size comparison is like George Kittle.
Yeah.
You know, he's not Rob Gronkowski. He's 6'7", 260 pounds. But he certainly is a terrific athlete, and he's probably a kid that if you bring him in here, you know, he's going to fit in seamlessly. You know, there's not going to be any issues. There's not, you know, there's no, everything about him is positive, and there's not even a tight end remotely close to him in this class, you know, going into the draft. So, again, the question would be, do the Jets want to drop back and pick up a few more picks because they don't have as many picks? But the Bengals have like 10 picks in this draft. And when you look at the draft power rankings in terms of like who's got the most, like the Arizona Cardinals, you look at they have pick 4, 27, 35, 66, 71, 90, and 104.
Yeah, this is a class that's going to make or break them, sounds like.
That's right. I mean, but that's what you want. And the Commanders, too. You know, the Commanders, you know, have six picks in the top 100. So they're going to get better.
Well, yeah. I mean, and this is what happens when your franchise stinks for many years. You acquire these picks and, you know, you got to make good on them. So, yes, and the Commanders, we believe, will take Jaden Daniels. And then after that, we'll see what they end up doing. Now, remember, you know, the last time the Commanders had a top pick like this and selected a quarterback, it was the guy they took in the fourth round that ended up being the one that helped them out winning more games, and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
So, just another one of those examples of crapshoot spot, which we all know. But
well, I think, you know, I do think RG3 would have been better had he not gotten hurt.
Yeah.
And he gets hurt and he plays in a playoff game against Seattle in Washington. I remember doing that game. And, you know, he could barely move in that game. And I give him credit for playing in that game. But if you remember coming back the next year, it was the whole thing about Adidas. And he could do it. He could come back. And I was down there for the opening game against Philadelphia. And I want to say maybe Michael Vick was the quarterback for Philly that night.
Okay.
And, you know, RG3 hadn't played all preseason. And I think RG3 was the only one introduced that night in Washington. And it was like, yeah, pathetic. You know, I'm like, you know me.
Yeah.
I mean, you want the team to be introduced, not just one guy. And the way he came out and the way he, you know, walked himself on the field, I'm like, oh, God, this guy is in for a long, you know, rude awakening.
Yeah.
And they got their ass kicked that night.
He also lost the respect of his teammates with the relationship he had with the owner. They didn't like that. It was just a bad mix, a bad organization.
It could have been great. It could have been great, but it got derailed.
Let's go to Mike, who is in Vernon, who joins us on The Fan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? I was just wondering what you guys thought about staying put with the sixth pick and drafting your wide receiver, whether it's Adunze or Neighbors, and then trading back up into the first and getting either Nix or Penix.
Yeah, and this is a scenario we have talked about throughout the last couple of months.
Which would mean that they would have to give up their first-round pick next year.
Probably. But, you know,
this is a team that needs as many draft picks as it possibly. They have holes all over the place.
Now, I don't know. See, a guy like Nix and Penix, I'm not sure how their story is going to end up in the draft this year. I mean, I could see both of those guys either falling or someone jumping back into the first round to take them.
You know, what's amazing to me is those two players, the amount of balls that they have thrown compared to the amount of balls J.J. McCarthy has thrown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bo Nix has thrown, five or six times what J.J. McCarthy has thrown.
Yeah.
And both Bo Nix and Michael Penix are a little bit older, a little bit more mature.
Yeah.
So they got that going for him. And to me, Penix is the most accurate out of all the quarterbacks. He just doesn't move around like Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams moves around. And the other one who kind of had a pedestrian last year was Drake May. I mean, these are all the things that you got to go through. And this is why the interview process is so important. You can look at all the tape you want. And you could see where Michael Penix and Roman Dunze were amazing. They were an amazing pair the last 2 years at Washington. They just were. And you see these spirals that Michael Penix throws. It's like, I mean, if he wasn't hurt in college as much as he was, I would see him as a top five pick.
Yeah, and that's what we've been talking about with him. And I mentioned prior to the combine. It's really how his medicals come back more than anything. I mean, everybody,
look at those numbers, 31-8 and 35-9.
Everybody knows he could play. It's just he's had some massive, barely career crippling injuries.
He's got very, very pedestrian rushing statistics because he wants to throw the ball from the pocket.
Which is great.
I'd love that.
Yeah, which is what you want to see, especially with a guy who has dealt with some leg injuries.
I just pray for him that he goes to the right place. I mean, I would love for Sean Payton to get him.
Yeah.
I really would.
He might.
I would love that. I would love that. I don't know about some of these other teams and coaches. And, you know, to me, it's all about, like, when Andy Reid got Patrick Mahomes, it was, like, perfect. It was perfect for Patrick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just hope that one of these kids don't end up going to one of these teams that sucks so bad, and they're going through a new coaching staff and a new GM, and then 2 years from now, it's going to be blown up again.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.